Denny, how are you, mate?
It's a fair rap, Denny. Mr. December.
Oh, hello. Hello. Is that you, Kenty? Hey, Hoot, are you there? I was on the wrong show. I thought I was on 360 for a second there. And boys, I just wanted to come on and clear something up. I am standing by my calendar. I've been a journo for 45 years and been doing calendars for 43 of them. And if I can't see that he's a December, I'm not a good judge. Doesn't he own any mirrors? Marky, can we chip in and buy him some mirrors, please?
Oh, brilliant.
We know you've got plenty.
Absolutely brilliant.
That is a good impersonation,
yeah,
Denny.
Very good.
What do you mean, Danny? Boys, before I go, I'm on to a big story. I can't tell you too much about it, but I'm going to be hopping on my new boat, the SS Pup, sailing through the Shire, and I'm going to be meeting up with some big-time developers who are going to invest in the new King Juan restaurant, and I'm going to be a shareholder. My only concern is this. I've heard that Josh Dugan and Andrew Fafita are also going to be shareholders, and I won't be sharing sweet and sour pork with them in the future.
Oh, oh gosh.
Dear. Oh, that is a very,
that's very
good
impersonation. That's not the first time you've done that, Danny Weidler.
Morning, guys.
Brilliant.
Where do we go from here?
My jaw sore.
Well, I'll tell you where we do go, Danny. I'll tell you where we do go, the Broncos. What's happening with them? Is there a clause in Seibold's contract? It looks as though there's not. He signed for 5 years with a clause in there that says it's in his favour for a sixth year.
Look, the big talk, Laurie, for some time has been that there's a performance clause in the Seibold contract. And on 100% Footy last night, Darren Lockyer, who's a board member of the Broncos, said he knows of no clause in the Seibold contract. So there is no easy payout, according to the Broncos, if they wanted to spear Seibold, which a lot of people want to happen. So now they're talking about a bizarre situation. It's the only way I can describe it, of bringing in, I know Kevy's an esteemed coach and a part of the Big Sports Breakfast team, but bringing in, for instance, a Kevy Walters, who they've knocked back for the job time and time again. Kevy's been treated with, I would say, a level of disrespect by the Broncos. And for them to now even consider offering him a position is hard to understand. And then the other one is Stephen Kearney. And Kearney, I think he's a very good assistant coach. But I don't know if he's the solution for the Broncos going forward. I mean, to suddenly walk into a joint where he's got to educate himself to the Anthony Seibold ways of football, which are a little bit hard to understand at the moment. I don't know if that suddenly fixes the problems that the Broncos have, which are far-reaching. From everybody that I talk to, the message that Seibold is sending to the players can't be understood. He's a very, very smart individual, and he's able to communicate very well on some levels, but I don't know if he can communicate well to his football team, and that's a massive problem. And the problem then becomes one for other people at the club who appointed him into that position, because not only is Seibold there as for a couple of years, he's there for potentially 6 years. And at the moment, they're looking like they really have made a poor decision.
Danny, so explain this. If somebody comes in as an assistant coach and the Broncos do have success, why would the assistant coach not be? If it's the assistant coach's ideas, if it's the assistant coach's man management, if it's the assistant coach's changes to the Brisbane setup, why on earth is that assistant coach not the head coach if it works?
Very good question. Well, I mean, it's a lose-lose for Seibold. I've been told privately that Seibold doesn't want Kevy Walters there. He knows because Kevy's got a lot of support. He's well-regarded by the former players of the club. He's loved by the public. He's a very smart individual. And if they suddenly turn around, who gets the credit? Kevy.
Kevy.
Not Anthony Seibold. I mean, and if it's Kearney, I mean, he's not the long-term future for the Broncos either. He's unfortunately just been removed from the Warriors. He's had mixed results everywhere he's gone. And while he might be a good assistant coach, I don't know whether, if they suddenly turned around, whether he's the one who's going to get the credit. Would he be appointed? I find it all very messy.
Mm. And with what's going on at the moment, and with David Fifita coming off contract at the end of this year, Denny, do you think he will stay, or do you think he'll, you know, move on to so-called greener pastures?
Look, the thing that I can gather from the Fifita situation is he doesn't want to come to Sydney. That's what I've been told. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I keep getting told he doesn't want to come to Sydney. So the Gold Coast, I guess, would be the option for him. There is a dispute of some description with his manager at the moment, which is preventing him from potentially doing a long-term deal. Whether that might work in Brisbane's favour, whether he might just do a short-term deal with the Broncos and see out his management contract, I don't know. It's a risk for Dave Fifita to go to the Gold Coast. Because that club, unfortunately, doesn't see a lot of players get better. So he's got to weigh up probably whether it's an extra couple of $100,000 a year or potentially, you know, missing out on that. And if I'm Dave Fifita, I'd sign a one-year deal with the Broncos. I'm not saying that's what he'd do. That's probably what I'd do.
What about the Warriors and the Melbourne Storm? We know what's happened with the AFL. There's some talk about, obviously, their clubs going into this hub style because Queensland are not allowing teams from Victoria to go up there and play. And if they do, they've got to isolate for 14 days and that'll disrupt the competition. Now, we know that Melbourne are, you know, basing themselves on the Sunshine Coast. Do we know how long they'll be up there? And what are you hearing in regards to the Warriors? Because there's some talk getting around that in a couple of weeks' time, they may pull the pin.
So firstly, with Melbourne, the way it's been explained to me is they're going to be on the Sunshine Coast for quite some time. But once the infection rate starts to go down in Victoria, it'll be 4 weeks from that time before they go back. So once we start to see a steady decline, that's when, I guess, a point will be set and say, okay, well, it's going down now. 4 weeks after that, you can go back. So that could be, you know, I don't know what the infection rate is over the last couple of days, but I don't think it's been good. So I don't think that day has started yet. So they could be facing several weeks up there at least. And they're quite happy, actually, in terms of their accommodation, and they're going to have their families are joining them, unlike a lot of the Warriors. They've got family there already, some of them. The family have to be isolated, go through the corona test and all that sort of thing, and they can't really leave the compound of, I think it's Twin Waters, for that time. So at least they're going to have family with them, and at least they're going to been a pretty good spot. So Melbourne will be okay, I think, although it will still, I guess it'll test some of them to a degree. And with the Warriors, look, I think there was a phone hookup with them. I think it was a Zoom conference, where we saw Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo speak to the Warriors, and they bought some time. I think they've been given an assurance for a couple of weeks that the Warriors will stay. It's three players in particular at this point who want their families with them, and they can't get them there. There is a quiet whisper that the bubble between, you know, I think it's between parts of Australia at least, or, and New Zealand, will start to happen. And I think the NRL may be hoping that happens quickly to avoid what could be a bad situation with the Warriors, because they're losing and they're looking disheartened. And it could become a problem for the NRL.
And yesterday you broke the story that, they'd identified the Warriors' Craig Fitzgibbon as their top target, but you expected Craig Fitzgibbon to stay put, and that looks as though it's going to be the case.
Look, yeah, you know, there was basically Fitzgibbon was told it's his job if he wants it. And that's a huge compliment to Craig Fitzgibbon. He's a hard-working coach. He's an intelligent guy. and he's a very honest and thorough individual. And I was told it's his job. Fitzy, though, has made a promise to Nick Politis not to do what happened to them last year with Adam O'Brien. Obviously, the Roosters had their noses right out of joint when he was an assistant there, and he went and became the Newcastle head coach. So when all that went down, there was Fitzy gave an assurance of, I'm here for my contract and maybe beyond as well. But I think it'll be harder and harder for the Roosters to hold on to Craig Fitzgibbon because he's got the makings of a very good first grade coach. And it's a huge tribute to Trent Robinson that coaches are being plucked from beneath him and taken onto first grade jobs. And from everything I'm told, Fitzy has what it takes.
Some Raiders news. Nick Kotrick's off contract at the end of the year, and there's some clubs circling him.
Yeah, it's interesting, Laurie, that Ricky Stewart would normally speak just before a game, but I think he's got a media conference today, and I'm curious to what that's going to be about, why it's been brought so far forward in the week. Ricky, maybe there's some... I think there's been a lot of speculation about... first of all, Curtis Scott and his performances. And I'd be curious to see whether, it'd be interesting to see whether Ricky sticks by Scott. I mean, he was one of their big off-season signings. So that may be addressed. I reckon Ricky's the sort of bloke who'll stick solid and show some faith in a player. But I guess we'll find out more about that. And when it comes to Nick Kotrick, the Bulldogs are in the market for him. That's for sure. I think it's going to develop into a similar situation that the Raiders had with John Bateman. I don't think the Raiders are going to be forced into a bidding war of any sorts with the other clubs to keep Kotrick, even though he's a well-respected local. The money I'm hearing at the moment is around $500,000 a season for him. I don't know if the Raiders are going to go above that. I think that's, if clubs start to throw bigger money than that for him, then he may end up going. But look, at this point, I think, you know, the Raiders are still hopeful he'll stay.
Denny, great to talk to you as always. I'm just looking at Buzz's Twitter account. No response yet.
I can do a buzz for you most weeks if you want.
Great to talk to you as always, mate.
See you guys.